Blog Talk Radio. Hello, hello. This is Carmen Amaros, host of the New York Podcasting Cafe. It's so nice to be back with you guys, sharing a little bit about what's happening in our program. We're going to have some really exciting people on the show lined up for you, and most of them are going to be teaching you something. There's a lot to learn on this program. We don't just feature singers and songwriters and creatives, but people who have something to contribute to the listening audience who likes to learn. Spent the weekend over with my family celebrating Caleb and Levi's birthdays. Caleb is 3, Levi just turned 1. And we had a magnificent time up there with my sister Elsa, Rudy, my sister Evelyn, my brothers and sisters. Some of them made it, some of them couldn't make it. But we were all together, those of us who were there, just having a marvelous time, celebrating family time, great food, cakes, cupcakes, and all of the wonderful trimmings that come with birthdays. And I have to say that it was just one of the most memorable things that I have done in a long time. And as I've gotten older, I've come to appreciate family more and doing so many more wonderful things with my wonderful family and my wonderful friends. I hope you had a great weekend, too, and I hope that you stop, smell the coffee, enjoy life, enjoy family, and celebrate those little things that sometimes we take so for granted. Well, today I have a wonderful artist, but before I bring on this wonderful person who has this amazing story to tell, I'm going to play my song, Never the Same Again. I don't know why people keep asking for this song, but I'm going to play it for you, okay? So stay tuned, and here we go. If you're interested in getting this song, just download it in iTunes. It's titled Never the Same by Carmen Amaros. And you can also find it at www.carmenamaros.com. Here it is. Enjoy. Today's featured artist is Esther Bortalatin. Esther Bortalatin was born and raised in Brooklyn, New York, and she is a single mother of two beautiful teenage girls. Esther was an educator for over 20 years and is currently a lecturer resource specialist with Long Island University New York City Parent Academy. She received her master's degree from Brooklyn College in bilingual education, and she wrote her first fictional novel, A Life Worth Living, some years ago. She has another two books coming out in print, Life is a Gift, which will be out in June of 2013, and The Touch of His Hand, which will be out in July of 2013. Esther has been through a lot in her life, but her faith in God has never swayed. She has had a very supportive family and some amazing friends who have supported her during very difficult times in her life, and God saw her through her hardest of times. Tonight, Esther's going to share just a little of her life story, but you can continue to learn more about her many adventures, endeavors, and the troubles that she's had to live through in her books. She is a fictional writer, but the experiences that Esther has gone through can be felt in the main characters in most of her books. And trust me, I have read her first book, and I was on a plane on my way to the West Coast when I read it. And to be quite honest with you, I could not put the book down. I literally digested that book in several hours. So I recommend that you do a search by A Life Worth Living by Esther Bortalatin and check out her first book, because the other two books that she's writing are sequels of that book. And now, with us here today is Esther Bortalatin.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Esther Bortalatin, and tonight I'd like to talk to you about depression. I'd like to share my story, but before I do so, I'd like to give you some statistical background on some of the research that I found concerning depression. Depression may be triggered by different situations, and I'd like to mention just a few of them. Could be death of a loved one, terminal illness, unemployment, lack of proper nutrition, and verbal and mental abuse. Around 20 million people suffer from depression. Statistics show that 110 people will have a depressive disorder in their lifetime. And in one of 10 cases, the depression is a fatal disease as a result of suicide. I have a friend who for 2 years, she was in denial. Her thoughts were, if I had to dump, if I had to end it, which side of the pier should I jump off? Thank God that he came right on time, because she would have committed suicide. She would have been part of that statistic. She received spiritual help, which brought her through those hard times. Some places you can ask or seek for help: family, church family, family doctor, and close friends. Some ways depression can be prevented: eat healthy. Excess sugars and sodium can further sap the energy of a person who suffers from depression. Try to be with other people rather than be alone. When you're around people, you don't have time to be depressed. Go for walks and try to get out every single day. Being home, being in your room, or in the house, in the kitchen, wherever it is, if you're indoors, it's not going to help you. It's only going to allow your depression to go deeper and deeper. Don't suppress your feelings. Talk about what you're going through. Find someone you can trust, whether it be your best friend, a family member. Confide in a pastor, in your church pastor. How do you know you're depressed? I'm going to explain some signs to you. If you're not able to get up in the morning and all you want to do is stay in bed, that's a problem. If you don't want to comb your hair, if you don't care what you look like, whereas before you did, that's a problem. And I would suggest that you get help. Fight for your children if you have children. Fight for your spouse if you're married. But most of all, fight for yourself, because life is worth living. And God has a plan for your life. I'd like to share with you my story, how my depression came about. It didn't come about from me losing a loved one. It didn't come about from me not eating right. My depression came from mental and verbal abuse. And let me tell you one thing. Depression is very real. Don't let anyone tell you, oh, you'll get over it. No, you will not get over it. Depression is real. And it really steals your joy. I found myself falling into a deep hole of depression. I was married for 17 years of my life. And for those 17 years, all I heard was what I did not do, who I should have been like. It was never, oh, you're beautiful. It was never, oh, you know what? You're great. What you're doing is wonderful. It was always a put down. Always a put down. No matter how hard I tried, it never made him happy. He always looked for something else. Something else was wrong with me. Something else I didn't do right. Well, let me just say one thing. When you're constantly hearing that, you begin to believe the lies. And it didn't matter how many degrees I had. I felt worthless. I felt helpless. I felt I was nobody. I felt I wasn't good enough. And I just couldn't deal with it anymore. I didn't want to talk to people. That was my mistake. What I did is I harbored everything inside. I kept everything inside. I wouldn't tell anyone what I was experiencing or how I felt. And that was a mistake. But every day of my life, I continued to go into deeper, deeper depression. Having a gun pulled to my head, again, I felt intimidated, worthless, and helpless. My two daughters would come to me every day and say, Mom, you have to get out of bed. Mom, you can't do this to yourself. You have to go out and get some air. Come out for a walk with us. You can't keep doing this to yourself. And I didn't want to believe them. I kept saying, what am I worth? I'm not worth anything. You know, I don't even want to be here. I didn't want to be in existence anymore. But I had friends like Dr. Evelyn Castro. I had friends like Carmen Amaral. I had friends that would encourage me all the time and tell me, you've got to get over this. Let's do this. We can do this together. I will help you. I had my church family. I had my church pastor who encouraged me. And these people just pushed me. My family stood by me, helped me, allowed me to talk about what I was feeling. And slowly but surely, God started to work in my life. Slowly but surely, God started to take away the pain, started to let me feel like Esther again. Because I lost who Esther was. I didn't know who Esther was anymore. I became someone else. And I didn't even know who that someone else was. But I remember picking up a book that I was given many, many years ago, and it was Corrie ten Boom's, called The Hiding Place. And I remember turning to one of her quotes where she said, there is no pit so deep that God is not deeper still. And I had to keep saying that. I had to keep repeating that to myself, because I knew that even though I was in a deep pit, I knew that God's love, that God's grace, and that God's healing power was deeper than that, deeper than my depression. And I knew that eventually I was going to be okay, because I had friends, I had family, I had their support, and that's so important, to have support. I didn't want to go on medication. I was in denial. I didn't think I was depressed. Me? Depressed? I just thought I was feeling sorry for myself. No, I was in deep depression. Eventually, my daughter, she came to me one day. She said, Mom, you have to snap out of it for myself and for Sarah. You have to snap out of it. You are the only parent we have now. And she quoted my favorite scripture, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And when she said that to me, something inside of me just snapped. And I said, what have I been doing to myself? And it just, I woke up. God woke me up. And let me tell you something, it wasn't easy. What I went through wasn't easy, but you know what? God saw me through it. He brought me through it. And I have to say that if you're feeling depressed, if you're one of those people that don't want to get up in the morning, you don't want to brush your hair, you don't care what you look like, get help. Talk to someone. Talk to God. Because he has a plan for you. God doesn't create junk. And you are worth so much. And your life is worth living. Because if it wasn't, God would have never allowed you to be born. So when you were born for a purpose and a plan that God has for you. And I want to leave you with this quote, again by Corrie ten Boom. This is what the past is for. Every experience God gives us, every person he puts in our lives is the perfect preparation for the future that only he can see. And you have a future. You have a future. And your life is worth living. God bless you.
You've been listening to a lecture by Esther Portalatin, the author of A Life Worth Living. Esther's going to be coming out with two new books, one in June and one in July. So please keep an eye out here on the New York Podcasting Cafe for instructions on where to go to purchase the book. In the meantime, you might want to catch up on some reading and buy her first book, A Life Worth Living. And learn a little bit more about the experiences of this young woman and be inspired by the stories in her fictional characters, who, by the way, happen to be extracted from real-life people. So, stay tuned here and look out for her next book. Okay, we're going to go through a live segment now with Esther Portalatin, and we hope that a lot of you call in, you know, look up the number that you see on the main page and give us all a call. All right, so here we go. Ready? All right, Esther. You're going to be on in 5 minutes, so give us a holler and let's get started.
Hello, Esther. Welcome to the New York Podcasting Cafe. I'm so thrilled to have you here today. Really thrilled. We've been having some technical difficulties with our lines tonight, but it seems that we're back. So how are you?
I'm doing great, and thank you, Carmen, for having me. It's an honor and privilege that I can share some of my testimony on your podcast. So I'm honored tonight.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I see that you have written the book A Life Worth Living. And
yes.
You speak a little bit, you keep reusing that title over and over again. And just the title alone, it fills me with so much inspiration because I could see that you wrote this based on something that happened, some event that was a pinnacle point in your life. Can you share a little bit about that and tell us why you wrote that that book?
Well, you know, I've been through a lot in life, and one of the biggest problems that I went through was falling into a very deep pit of depression, and it came about through mental and verbal abuse. And you know, it's funny because when I wrote the book and I created the character of Lillian, I was basically telling my story in a way but not being completely honest with myself. I'm like, well, you know, Lillian, you know, she's depressed, but I'm not. I'm just going to, you know, act like I know what depression is all about. But really, I was very much so depressed. And when you read the book, A Life Worth Living, and you read the character of Lillian, you can sort of feel and sense as you're reading her character that the depression was very deep. And I was basically in denial. Although I made the character very real, when you read the book, you're gonna feel Lillian in a way that you would never think that you would feel, you know, a character, because she becomes alive and the depression is very, very real and very deep.
And I can testify to that, because quite honestly, I thought that I was going to, you know, read a little bit and then put down the book and then try and pick up where I left off sometime the following day, because I was on a flight somewhere to the West Coast and I couldn't put it down. You know, the TVs were blaring in the plane, people were watching movies, and I was reading the book. I couldn't stop reading the book. It was truly inspiring, and it hit some parts of my life that truly, you know, are very familiar. Your book was so familiar. So many things that you wrote in it hit home. What was your favorite part of the book?
Well, my favorite part of the book was when Lillian actually is set free. You know, she decides to take the chance that she takes, and I don't want to give it away. So, but, you know, that was my favorite part of the book, because it was sort of a release. And as I wrote that part of the book, I prayed and I said, Lord, you know, this is Lillian, the character, but it's really me. And I really want to feel that freedom. I want to be free from this, you know. And although, no, you know, looking at me, you would never know, because I always had a smile on my face and I always put on a show. But I was longing for that freedom, you know, and the Lord did answer my prayer. You know, he set me free. And that was my favorite part of the book. Because, you know, in writing that, I sort of knew that at one point when God saw fit, I would be set free. I would be healed from depression.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, I don't want to give away too much of the book, but I know that this family goes through devastation. It's a very devastating period in their life. Mm-hmm. And quite honestly, it was a very heart-wrenching, and I almost felt like I was part of that family while I was reading the book. I was tearing, I was crying, and then there were parts where I was happy and I felt joyful. But, you know, just this brings to mind what the one question that I really would like to ask, and that is, what was the hardest part of the book for you to write?
The hardest part of the book, again, I have to go back to touching the feelings that I was actually feeling inside, depression. And, you know, I would write and then I would stop and I would say, am I really feeling this, or is this just my imagination? Because a lot of writers write from imaginary, you know, they write from their imagination. Oh, I'm imagining this and I'm going to write about it. But I was really touching on points that were dealing with my life. Mm-hmm. And, there were times where I would just have to stop and I would walk away and say, I can't write that because nobody can know this. You know, this is a secret. Nobody can know. But then again, I'm going to hide behind the character of Lillian. I'm going to hide behind that character. And that was the hardest part for me to write in the book. Every time I would have to discuss a certain situation that Lillian went through, I think those were the times when it was hardest for me to write. And I would just have to stop and say, you know what, I'm not gonna have this book printed. I'm not gonna have this book published. I'm just gonna continue to hide my emotions. But you know what? The Lord said no. Because I knew that I wasn't the only person feeling that. Because if I'm feeling that, I said, Lord, I know that there are others out there who are like me, who are hiding behind a character, putting on a show, you know. And I says, I want this book to touch lives. I don't want to write in vain. If I'm going to write in vain, then I don't want to write. I want to write so that, you know, my words, you know, God using me can change a life and can maybe open someone's eye to say, you know what, I'm depressed. I'm depressed and I've been hiding and I need to talk to someone. I need to pray and I need to talk to someone that can help me, you know. And
right.
And, you know, that to me, that was the most, that was the hardest thing, is to write about myself, but hiding behind a character.
You know, that leads into the next question. What was your favorite part of that book?
I think I know which one it is, but I'm not going to let on. I can't say because I need to give away the whole point of the book.
I could say one thing, can I? Will you allow me?
Very
romantic.
It's a
very romantic part. Let me ask you a question. What are your favorite books? Who are your favorite authors?
Oh, my favorite authors are C.S. Lewis is by far one of my favorite authors. Karen Kingsbury, I love her style of writing. You know, A Thousand Tomorrows is a great book by her. I also like, you know, believe it or not, when I was in high school, I loved William Shakespeare. People would think, you know, they thought I was crazy, but I loved him. I loved his. My favorite, though, I have to tell you, is Corrie Ten Boom. I loved all her books. You know, and Corrie Ten Boom was someone that, you know, I would always, you know, turn to her books because her quotes were so powerful. And they always moved me. And, you know, it's like they encouraged me. And believe it or not, a lot of her quotes, you know, she went through a lot of depression herself when she found herself in jail, you know, not in jail, but, you know, she was in prison, in a prison, not only a physical prison, but she was in a prison of, you know, in herself too, because, you know, living that whole Holocaust thing, it was just very difficult. But I looked at her, I would read her books, and I would see the strength that she had, and the strength that she had, and she never, ever gave up hope. You know, no matter how she felt, she always knew that God was going to come to her rescue. And to me, she became like my favorite author and everything. So, I mean, I recommend her books to anybody and everybody.
Okay. Okay, we have a caller on the line, but before we get that call, I just wanted to ask you, if you could have dinner with one person who's dead or alive, who would it be and why?
Of course, Corrie Ten Boom.
Okay, I wondered if you were going to say that.
absolutely.
And what would that be?
Why? Because, you know, even though she's gone, but, you know, I would have loved to let her know that her writing and her faith in God inspired me at my lowest times. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was just, that's just someone that I would have loved to have, you know, met in my lifetime.
Let me ask you another question. If people want to buy your book or reach you at your website, write to you, you know, invite you to come speak somewhere or lecture, where can they reach you?
Well, they can email me, EstherPort50@AOL.com. And I also have a Facebook page. I have my Life Worth Living Facebook page. They can reach me through Facebook as well. But again,
so
my email is at EstherPort50@AOL.com.
So if they do a search of Esther Portalatin on Facebook, or a search of A Life Worth Living, they will get you on Facebook.
They can actually Google me, and they'll find me under Esther Port or Esther, either by my book or by my name. So it's
okay.
You know.
So we'll keep an eye out. We'll let folks know to keep an eye out for you on Facebook, and they can also go out on all of the different stores online, right, and buy A Life Worth Living on
Amazon. Barnes and Noble, any all bookstores online have my book. They all carry my book, and they will be carrying my other two books as well.
Wonderful. That is so wonderful to hear, because anybody who gets their hands on this book, especially children, teenagers, this book is phenomenal for young people, because it caters to every age group. You know, it caters to the young, to the old. There's a little bit of there's a little tragedy. There's some some sadness, and then there are, you know, there's joy, and there's a lot. The book offers a lot, and of course, it's not the end. There are sequels to this book, right?
Yes, the second part is called Life. The first one is A Life Worth Living. The second one is Life is a Gift, and the story continues.
Okay.
And it's intense. That story's intense, but then again, it's for general population. Everyone can read it. There's nothing in any of my books restricted or anything. You know, I believe in clean books, and I don't have to, you know, write anything dirty in order to get my point across. It's every age can read my book.
Right. So we have somebody on hold. Would you like to take a call now and see who it is?
Sure.
Okay, let's see. Give me 1 second, okay?
Hello,
you're on the air. This is Carmen and Esther on the New York Podcasting Cafe. Can you please tell us your name?
This is Lisa.
Hi, Lisa. How are you?
Good.
Thank you for calling.
Does.
So quickly,
just,
can you ask
I just wanted to say, I just
mm-hmm.
really wanted to say thank you so much, because that has been a total blessing of that book. I have read her book cover to cover, and
mm-hmm.
what I really want to tell people out there tonight is that
mm-hmm.
to get her book, because it would truly bless you in many ways that nobody may understand. And just listening tonight, people that are out there that are dealing with things, don't let yourself go, because sometimes when you tend to let yourself go, you don't understand of what to, you know, what to do or who to turn to. But the greatest need is to really understand to change your life more ways than one, because when you change your life more ways than one, it's where
mm-hmm.
God takes you and what God
right.
shows you.
Right.
Sometimes you
right.
don't understand, but let him take control.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the book comes in, A Life Worth
right.
Living. That's where the book takes you, and it shows you inside out of what you're, you know, of what you're dealing with within yourself, no matter
wow.
where you may be or no matter who you're with. When you're going through things, sometimes you tend to cover up certain things in your own personal life where you don't say anything
we
to anybody.
That. Everybody
you tend
does
to,
that.
You know, you tend to smile, or you know, you try to be,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah.
try to be the happy-go-lucky person. But when you know that you're dealing with something, let it go.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no reason to feel terrible that you're going through something
mm-hmm.
depressing, or that you're going through some kind of a phase in your life. A lot of people are afraid because they worry that if they say something, oh, there's something
mm-hmm.
wrong in your life. People
mm-hmm.
judge
mm-hmm.
people
mm-hmm.
when they're ill, or when they're going through some kind of personal problem or depression.
Mm-hmm.
When we're all human, everybody goes through something, and there's
right.
no sense in hiding what you're feeling because
right.
of what someone else is going to think. If you need help, you go out and you get help.
Right.
And you reach
mm-hmm.
out to the people you know you can trust, who will not judge you, who will be there to pray for you and lift you
mm-hmm.
up and
mm-hmm.
uphold you, you know? And
right.
so, yeah.
You know,
one thing that I
suggest, and I had to learn this the hard way, so I'm talking from experience. Sometimes you have to surround yourself with positive people. When you're around
mm-hmm.
people that are always talking negative, oh, you know, that's not going to work out. Oh, what are you thinking? What do you want to do that for? These are the type
yeah.
of people you don't need in your life. You need people that
right.
are going to say, hey, you know, that's a great idea. You know what? Let's try this together. You know, I'm with you. You need people to motivate you, to encourage you. And, you
right.
know, I, you know, recently, you know, I had to move away from people that were negative, because, you know, it just brings you down, especially if you're depressed and then you're around people that are always negative. That's like a double whammy. You don't need that in your life. You need to surround
right.
yourself with happy people, you know. And
exactly.
never be afraid to discuss what you're feeling, because, you know, it doesn't make you any less of a person. If anything, it makes you a greater person, because, you're letting out what you're feeling. You know, don't do what I did,
exactly.
because I suppressed so much that it got to the point where it was really bad. You know, and now, let me tell you, I don't hold anything in. If I'm feeling something, I'm going to talk to one of, I have great friends, and I'm like, hey, this is happening to me. And you know what? You know what they tell me? Let's pray about it. Let's pray together. And that's great, you know,
mm-hmm.
to just have someone
right.
you can talk to, you know, air, you know, vent with, you know. But thank you. Thank you for that encouragement. I mean,
thank you,
wow.
Thank you for your word. We really appreciate you joining us out here on the New York Podcasting Cafe. Thank you so much. And we'll
You're
be connected
truly welcome.
With you later. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Here. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So, you know, so I think some of the pointers of you know, helping people with depression is to be a good listener, right? Would you agree
mm-hmm.
with me on that?
Absolutely.
To validate the person's condition, because many times a person with depression feels alienated or misunderstood and guilty, to help them find a reputable therapist.
Absolutely.
Or, you know, and it could be, sometimes it's not even a question of a therapist. It could just be that they're going through a very dark period because of
mm-hmm.
a loss of a loved one or financial
right.
situation. And they just need
yes.
to go to a local church and be ministered to and be coached
yes.
by a pastor or a team, mm-hmm. a spiritual, you know, people, a team of spiritual people. Or get, you know, they need to get outdoors, like you said earlier in
yes.
the lecture.
And I want to just make one correction, if I can. I
sure.
said on the podcast that when someone tells you you're not going to, you know, get over it and you're not going to get over it, you're not going to get over it on your own. You need help. You will get
right.
over it. You do get over depression, but you can't do it alone. And, you know, you need God. Number one on your side is God, is the Lord. You know, I know a lot of people say, oh, God, this, but you know something? I'm just going to speak from experience. God has been real in my life. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be talking to Carmen right now had I not turned to God. And, you know, friends and, you know, God and friends. You need
mm-hmm,
people
absolutely.
That listen. You need, you know,
yes.
you need the Lord in your life. You need
yes.
friends in your life that are positive.
That's exactly
because, yeah, you do. Because, you know, that's the only way you'll be able to get over the depression.
Right.
You just can't. It's
yeah.
not like, oh, okay, I have a headache. I'm going to get over this headache tomorrow and it goes away. It's not that way.
And if
you know.
I might interject, you know, the spiritual is super important. It's very important
yes.
to pray, to meditate, to read the scripture, or to
mm-hmm.
find
mm-hmm.
ways to be in communion with, you know,
mm-hmm.
with the Creator. But I know a lot of people out there, too, who are not practicing things that helped alleviate depression, like,
mm-hmm.
such as, you know, good meals. I mean, a lot of people
right.
don't realize that they need serotonin, which is a precursor you know, to tryptophan, and they need to eat turkey, eggs, milk, beans, cheese, salmon, walnut,
yes.
tuna.
Yes.
I know this sounds
yes.
mundane, but alpha-3 fatty acids play
you're
a very
right.
significant role in boosting mood, too. So, you know, all of that, right, the prayer, the meditation.
Carmen, you're
the
absolutely right. You're absolutely
all,
right, because
it's a synergy
yes.
of things that need to happen in order for a person to feel completely well. Because
we
have a temple
absolutely right.
here.
I tell you, I was a junk food junkie. You know, I was always eating chips and candy and all this, and you know, and I changed my eating habits. And you know, a lot of, you know, sometimes sugar, especially sugar is like a downer. I mean, you're up for like 5, 10, 15 minutes, but then after that you're like it's a downer. And you know, you have to be very careful with, you know, excessive sugar, you know, and you know, so you're right. I've completely changed my eating habits. My children, I changed our eating habits. And at first they were very, you know,
right.
oh, I don't want that. But you know
right.
something, you know, you are what you eat. You are what you
right.
eat.
Mm-hmm,
so you're
mm-hmm.
absolutely right.
And you know, there are different types of depression. There's bipolar, there's teen depression,
mm-hmm.
there's clinical
mm-hmm.
major depression. And
mm-hmm.
so anybody who experiences any of these things, sometimes it's not a question of a simple, you know, adjustment in the diet or just,
no.
You know, or prayer, which prayer to mm-hmm. me is amazing. It works miracles. But sometimes
mm-hmm.
people also need to get out and see a specialist and talk to
mm-hmm.
someone in those cases where the bipolar depression, it may be a very deep depression that it turns deadly, like you were saying in the lecture,
yes.
right?
Yes.
So
there
are times when people
there.
Need
yeah.
to go that extra step. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They need to talk to a counselor or somebody who can help them. I don't believe in medicating people unless they are, you know, so depressed that they become, that they're bipolar and maybe they threaten to hurt themselves or hurt others.
Mm-hmm,
but I think for the most part, the greatest, and you know, for simple depression, which is not really, depression is not simple at all. It's
no.
prayer and being around people and getting out in the sun and having fellowship with people and calling on friends. Mm-hmm. Oh, we have another call. Let's see who this is.
Okay.
Hello, you're on the air with Esther Portalatin and Carmen on the New York Pod Cafe. Who's
Hi,
calling, please?
Hi, good evening. This is Aaron.
Hi, Aaron.
Hi. Yes,
you have a question you'd like to ask?
Actually, would like to actually thank the author, Esther, for I also have faced depression when I actually lost my dad. And I've actually been listening to her, and what she's saying has really, really touched my heart, because I also remember that that not too long ago my father passed away. And her message, it actually has inspired me even more to trust God through it all. You know, and it also has shown me who has been actually there for me through the good and through the bad times. But I have a question for Ms. Esther, and my question is how did she overcome depression, and what advice can she offer someone else who's actually facing depression as well?
Well, the way I overcame depression was I had the support of family and friends. I also trusted God. You know, it wasn't the easiest thing to do, because one of the hardest things to do is to trust God, to put all your trust in Him. But when I had, you know, the help of my friends who were always praying with me, the help of my family who constantly prayed with me, who allowed me to speak about what I was feeling. Okay, my friends and my family allowed me, you know, to just let it all out, to just talk about what was hurting me, what was getting me, you know, so depressed. When I did all of that, talking about it, having the support of my family, having the support of my church family, because that played a major role, my pastor, who encouraged me, they didn't even give me time to be depressed. Every time I turned around, they kept me busy, you know, doing things, you know, in the church and my family, taking me places, doing things, all these things, you know, God first and then everything else. That's what helped me get over my depression. And my advice, the advice that I can give from my heart is keep in the Word of God. Keep in the Word of God. Because let me tell you something, in the Word of God, you find strength. You find so much strength. And especially Psalm 91. Oh my gosh. 91. That Psalm is yes. Psalm 91 is amazing, you know, and that's another thing that kept me going, just reading Psalm 91. You know, I don't know if you have a Bible at home or whatever, but just open up the Bible and read Psalm 91. Let God talk to you through that psalm. You know, speak to your friends, Christian friends. Mm-hmm. Speak to your church pastor. You know, keep busy. You know, go out for walks. You know, and just keep yourself in a position where you don't have to sit down and think about, oh, my God, you know, this happened. Because when my father died, I got a little depressed also,
wow.
You know. But, you know, I went through depression in its fullest, I'm going to tell you, you know, to the point where they actually thought I was going to need medication. But, you know, God came just in time. He came just in time, and He rescued me. So the best advice that I can give you is just keep in the Word of God. Keep friends, positive friends, and talk about what you're feeling to someone that you can trust. And, you know, just keep in prayer, and you're going to see how God is going to work in your life.
Ms. Esther, thank you so much. You are an inspiration to young men like myself, and I'm sure to many other people. May God continue to bless you and continue to bless the work that you're doing for Him.
Thank you so much for calling us here at the New York Podcasting Cafe. We really appreciate your call.
Thank you. You're very welcome.
Wow.
Wow. People take spirituality for granted. Everybody takes care. You know, most people get up in the morning, they groom themselves, they brush their teeth, they put on their makeup, deodorant, perfume, they put on their business suit, they go off to work, they grab their briefcase. And the last thing they think of is, God, you know, bless my day. Help, you know, you know, bless my departure from this house and bless my return. Because people take it for granted that they think they're going to come back. And you don't know. And, you know, just like everything else, the mind needs to be protected and nurtured and fed positive things. Because that also helps to ward out depression. You know,
like I
said, Psalm 91.
Yes. And I have to tell you that every morning I get up And, you know, I get up at 5. I work, you know, so every morning I get up at 5 in the morning. And, you know, the first thing I do is I pray because, you know, depression can come back very easily. If you just,
sure.
you know, if you just let your guard down, you know, it can come back. And I just stay in the, yes. I stay in constant prayer and constant communication with God. I do that all day. Even when I'm teaching, you know, when I assign an assignment, you know, in my head, I just say, Lord, and I pray over my students. I pray over everybody. I pray over everyone, you know, because I know that, you know, this world is not easy. You know, every time you turn around, something is happening. Something depressing is happening. I try not to listen to the news because everything on the news is so depressing, you know.
Right.
And I just try to keep positive, you know.
Right. Well, I think that reading books, positive books, is a very good thing because you see reflections of your life in some of those books and in what you read and what you hear. You know, you go to church and you're blessed and that's why we have church. We go there to be blessed and be uplifted. But once in a while during the week, you know, it's good to pick up a good book, turn off the TV, turn off the radio, just sort of push out the congestion and pick up a nice book. Like A Life Worth Living or one of the other books that you're writing and start to see yourself in the life of the character. And you know, that's inspiring. It helps you to grow as well, you know, to know that somebody's writing based on their personal experiences. This is not just fictional stuff. This is, you know, this is real stuff. These are things that happen in a person's life. So, before we go, what would you like to share with the audience? Is there anything you'd like to tell the folks out there about, it doesn't matter what it is, your book, depression, it could be, you know.
Well, I just want to thank everyone.
Your favorite color, your favorite chocolate.
Everybody that knows me knows my favorite color is pink. So that goes without saying. Everybody that knows me knows that. Everything I own is practically pink. But I just want to say thank you, you know, to the listeners who were listening. And I just want to say that, if you are, you know, feeling depressed and, you know, you're feeling like, you know, you're not worth anything, I just want you to know that, you know, you are the apple of God's eye. And when God created you, he created you so unique and so special. And no matter how anyone makes you feel or try to make you feel, you are special to God. And people love you, you know, and it's, please, just if you're feeling down or depressed, just pick up the phone, call someone, you know. Hey, email me. I'll be more than willing to speak with you or to talk with you, you know. But just find someone to vent to and don't, you know, don't continue to hold those feelings in and hide behind your depression. You know, don't do that because it's not healthy. And I just, you know, I just pray that my words, you know, the words that the Lord gave me to say to you, I just pray that they bless you, that they perhaps bring some encouragement to your life. And I just, again, thank you. Thank all the listeners for listening. And God bless you.
Thank you for being on the program. And Esther, can you please repeat where people can find you? And
yes.
Your email also.
Okay. My email is Esther, E-S-T-H-E-R, Port. P as in Peter, O-R-T, 50, at AOL.com. And if you Google me, you can just write in Esther Portalating, or you can find me on the Esther Portalating in Facebook. Okay, and email me, talk to me, I'm here.
Okay, now, can you please share that last thing that you said during the lecture that so touched my heart?
There is no pit too deep that God is not deeper still. That the one?
That's right. That's right.
That's the one. That's my favorite one. And
if you're looking out into a monitor, out into a camera, somewhere where people can see you and you're saying something dead into someone's eyes, what is life? It is what?
Your life is worth living.
Thank you, Esther. Thank you for being on our program. I want to have
you're
you
welcome.
Back again for the next book, okay?
And thank you so much, Carmen, for having me. It was an honor.
You're welcome. God bless.
God bless. Bye-bye.
This is Carmen Amoros, host of the New York Podcasting Cafe. Thank you for tuning in. And thank you for putting up with our technical difficulties this day. We had many of them, but I'm so glad the message got out. Thank you, Esther, for Talatin. And folks, if you want to hear her, talk to her, email her, go to her page on Facebook. It is titled A Life Worth Living. You can also look it up by both her name and the title, A Life Worth Living, Esther Portela Team, on Facebook. And communicate with her and follow her because she's got two new books coming out. Take care, God bless, and I'll see you in the next episode. Bye.